Power 93.7 WBLK. I'm Yasmin Young. This is the 2 to 6 Takeover. We are very committed to keeping you up to date with whatever information you need, the tools that you need to keep yourself and your family safe during the coronavirus epidemic. I have the pleasure of having probably one of the most busiest women right here in Erie County, Dr. Gail Burstein, who is the Commissioner of the Erie County Department of Health. Welcome, Dr. Burstein.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me on your show.
Listen, I appreciate you taking the time because I know that you all have been working extremely hard to, you know, make sure that we are under control here in Erie County when it comes to the number of cases and trying to kind of, you know, get that under control. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to ask you, where are we with the number of confirmed cases here in Erie County?
Well, where we are as of today is that per the governor's press conference this morning, he cited that there were 87 unconfirmed COVID-19 cases in Erie County. So far, working with our public health lab, we have confirmed the location of 77 of those cases, that they are Erie County residents, and we are further confirming those other cases, so we expect that number to increase today.
Okay. And you and Mark Polenkars, the Erie County executive, spoke about the dwindling testing supplies, and this seems to be all over the country. Has there been an update as far as us here in Erie County?
Well, the testing has been identified as a strategy to help us battle the COVID-19 virus. However, that is just one tool. And I think the scientists have actually identified other strategies that are even more important just in terms of changing our behavior. So I think one of the biggest impacts that we can make is by practicing social distancing, which is really physical distancing. So people, you know, physically staying away from other people in the community, and maybe even in your household if there's somebody in the house that's sick. So that would mean, changing the way you interact with your friends. So you should call them, text them, FaceTime them instead of congregating together. It also thinking about the way that we, we pray and, communicate with, whatever God people believe in. I mean, I think that's important too. And, again, thinking about how to do that in smaller numbers and, some places of worship have been trying to live stream services and maybe you could get on group calls, and it's just really important to protect the health of your congregation, and so that unfortunately that would entail trying not to to congregate together and maintain your fellowship through other forms of communication like email and texting and phone calls and some type of group chats or blogs. I mean, there are FaceTime. There are many different ways to communicate now in 2020 that other than unfortunately being in person. So it's we know that it's really important, for people to maintain their social community and maintain their fellowship. And we just have to think about other ways to do that. Also, it's very important to wash your hands as frequently as you can. We know that people can have, even though they look healthy, they may have viruses encoding the COVID-19, on their hands or, somewhere on their skin. So it's really important that we, wash our hands as much as we can. Also, these viruses can live on countertops and tabletops and doorknobs and other surfaces. So again, it's really important to keep those clean and other frequently touched surfaces like toys, especially with people that are taking care of kids. Like toys get touched by kids all the time. So and cell phones for our young at heart and our seniors. Everybody's using cells now, so it's really important to keep those clean. And as well as washing our hands. And then for if you see somebody even in your household that looks sick, they probably are sick, so you want to make sure that you stay away from them. And they may have to hang out in their room for a while until they they feel better. And then also out in the community. I mean, right now it's really not PC to see somebody walking around like hacking or sneezing. So if you see somebody like that, you can give them a dirty look. and then stay away from them as far as you can, because if they are sick, if they look sick, they are sick, and they can make you sick. So you just want to stay away from them. And those are, you know, those are all things that we can do as a community that the scientists say that are actually even more important than getting the testing. And so with the testing, I mean, we still need to identify people that could be positive, because they touch so many other people's lives, and we need them in the workforce, because they're, you know, they're the backbone of our healthcare system, or they're the backbone of our first responders, of our working in the ambulances, or they're the backbone of our police keeping us safe. So for those individuals, we're really reserving the testing so that so those individuals who may be ill, we could get them testing to see if they're COVID-19 positive or not, and that would change. It may change the you know, the amount of time they have to be off from work and, you know, out of that vital workforce. And then also our and then also we have to identify if they have been positive, and so, you know, we can you know, we hope that they would inform people that they could have been in contact with, that they would also have to remove themselves to the workforce for that duration of the quarantine time. And our first responders are essential people. They can actually remain in the workforce if they have been asymptomatic contacts. So if they've been contacts to a known case or a suspected case of COVID-19 and they don't have any symptoms, they could still stay in the workforce as long as, you know, they're symptom-free, no fever, no cough. But then they are in quarantine when they're not at work. So they go to work and go home, go to work and go home, but they should not interact with the rest of the community. So if we can all work together to keep everybody safe, everybody with symptoms, you know, stay away from other people, and everybody who has been exposed, if you are essential, you know, we need you to work if you don't have symptoms. And then when you're not at work, again, you have to stay away from other people. And that's the way we're going to get out of this. Not just by testing. I mean, testing is actually could give us a false sense of security, because we said, the governor said this morning that there are only 87 cases reported in Erie County. We all know there are more than 87 people in Erie County that have COVID-19 or have been exposed to COVID-19. So that number does not truly reflect the true burden of disease in our community. And I don't want people to have a false sense of security based on that number.
Absolutely. And a lot of the social distancing that we're doing is to protect people who are more at risk. Who falls into that higher risk category?
Right. So our highest risk category are people who could become, you know, very, very ill with if they get the disease. So that's our seniors. We identified people who are 60 and up at being at risk of severe disease. And we know that many of the people that end up hospitalized and even who die are people in their 70s and 80s. So those individuals, you know, we have to make sure that they are protected, that we have a cocoon around them with healthy people, or even better, no people. And, you know, they have a way to get food. They have a way to get, you know, their needs met without having to go out into the community where there could be people who are infected, and they may not know that at the time. You know, also people who have other chronic healthcare conditions, like people with chronic lung disease or heart disease or diabetes or any type of autoimmune disorder or HIV, you know, all those individuals we know that, you know, could possibly become more ill if they were infected with COVID-19. You know, there's still a lot we don't know, so we don't know the magnitude of the risk. We also assume that women who are pregnant may have some increased risk of illness with COVID-19, but that hasn't been defined yet. We just know that they're a group that we have to keep our eye on. You know, also smokers are a big group at risk of severe illness with COVID-19, because we know that the severe illness causes basically a severe respiratory infection. And so people who are smoking now, we already know that they have like some level of lung damage, even though they may feel well right now. They do have some level of airway damage and lung damage. And so they're at very increased risk risk of becoming ill with COVID-19. And we know from the experiences in China, they saw many smokers who ended up very ill with COVID-19. So, you know, people were thinking about another behavior change to keep themselves healthy through this epidemic. You know, they can start thinking about starting nicotine replacement therapy and you know, accessing the quit smoking hotline to get some help with stopping the smoke. So that it would be, you know, a huge impact on keeping them healthy during this COVID-19 epidemic.
And you mentioned that it affects the respiratory system. What are the symptoms and when should people go to the hospital?
So the symptoms that are classic of COVID-19 are fever, so that's a temperature of 100.4, and cough or shortness of breath. And, you know, they don't always start together. So if you initially just develop a fever or you just develop a cough, that could be the start of a COVID-19 or the start of another respiratory infection like influenza that could also make people ill. So in general, if you have any of those symptoms, you should really isolate yourself and stay away from other people so you help protect not only yourself, but help protect the people around you that you love.
What is the Erie County Coronavirus COVID-19 hotline number and website?
The phone number for our COVID-19 hotline that to get really good information is 716-858-2929. Again, it's 716-858-2929. So we have a couple of websites that have some good information on our Erie County Health Department website. So our Erie County Health Department website is www.erie.gov. And then to get to our COVID-19 information, it would be /COVID-19, so COVID-19. And then we also have an interactive map where you could see the cases that have been reported thus far at the erie.gov, then /COVID-map. So COVID-MAP. And again, that map just shows the cases that we have identified. It does not reflect the actual true number of cases in each community. So I don't want people to have a false sense of security. It is here, and it is, and we estimate that by the end of this outbreak, we probably 80% of our population will have been exposed and infected. You know, some people will be lucky and they will have known or no symptoms or just mild symptoms. And some people, you know, especially our elderly and smokers and people with other chronic health conditions will not be so lucky. And those people will become very, very ill and may require hospitalization. And you know, we will expect to see some deaths. So that's why we really have to hunker down. That's why we are in a state of emergency. And that's why we have to really think smartly about how to practice these non-pharmaceutical interventions with social distancing or physical distancing, hand washing, you know, staying away from other people who look sick. If you're sick, stay away from other people. Make sure that you keep all frequently touched surfaces as clean as you can. And so that would include, unfortunately, for kids, you know, playgrounds. All our playgrounds are closed in Erie County because those have a lot of frequently touched surfaces. And again, we want to keep our kids safe and healthy. And so kids can be, what to do with kids are a challenge. We have some ideas on our website, and there are some other, you know, great informational sources online of, you know, what to do to occupy kids. I know that the schools have sent home plenty of learning materials to occupy kids' time, so, you know, that would be a productive use of their time. You know, also, if for first responders really need to get back to work, there is opportunity for child care for them, for our essential employees. So first responders, you know, people that that you know work in the sewers and you know the, our energy, our electricity grid, our law enforcement workforce, our healthcare worker workforce, and you know people can go online and look for an application for you know to get their kids enrolled into this the child care for what we call essential personnel. And so that website is wnychildren.org. So again, it's wnychildren.org. And so that will take people to the application site for our you know essential workforce to help them get child care so that they can return back into the workforce and help us all stay healthy and heated and have running water so we can wash our hands.
Dr. Bernstein, I truly appreciate your time. I know that you're busy, but this information is so important. So thank you. I appreciate you and all of your entire staff at the Erie County Department of Health. I know you guys are working around the clock to make sure that we all stay as well as we possibly can. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And remember, we are all in this together. I'm practicing what I preach here today.